Christianity occurred, and that's Jesus rose from the dead. And when he rose, there was a message that needed to be delivered with urgency. All right? The women were the first ones to deliver the message about the resurrection. And that message is still working today. And I have a short message for you today, and we're actually going to even get out early, possibly. Can you say amen? And go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you have your Bibles. And I just want to share some things about the resurrection, and then I want to share something specific about the resurrection. You know, the resurrection is not just an occurrence that occurred, but it's something that can affect your life today. All right? The effects of the resurrection can be felt, can be experienced, can be lived, can be known today. And we're going to get into about knowing the power of the resurrection. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, Paul wrote some things here. And he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you have received." You know, once the gospel is preached, it needs to be received. Amen? A gospel unpreached, or a gospel preached that's not received, has no power to that individual who doesn't receive it. Amen? He said, "Which you have received, and wherein we stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you." You know, we need to remember what the preaching was. That's why I put the scriptures in the bulletin. And if you ever have a question, you can always go back and see what I was saying. And he said, "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have been you have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Everybody say according to the scriptures. See, God did everything according to his master plan. And Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose again, and he wants to live in your heart. That is the gospel. The gospel is that simple. That is the message that God wants to get across. And in verse 5, he was seen of Cephas, or Peter, and of the 12. So I want you to notice, Paul is sharing the different times that he appeared. Okay? So first of all, he was seen by Peter and the 12, because the women went to the tomb. They came back to those who were locked up in that room and told them what was happening. Verse 6, after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. And verse 11 says, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. You know, if Jesus appeared to 500, the 12, and then all the apostles, and those 500 weren't all in the same location, but yet they all said the same thing. They all said that he is risen, he is alive, their message didn't change. Amen? And that's just sufficient proof to us that he rose from the dead. All right? It's not some myth. It's not some fable. But Jesus actually rose from the dead. And he has the scars as payment of our sin to prove it. Amen. And he took his blood and he offered it before God's throne. And God took that blood and he received it and he stamped paid in full to our debt, paid in full. Sin wiped out, death wiped out, hopelessness demolished. But then he goes on, and even in this day, some said that there wasn't a resurrection. You know, the Pharisees, they worked extra hard to prove that there wouldn't be a resurrection. What did they do? They sealed the tomb with an official seal. They put a Roman guard of soldiers at the tomb. And how many know that if a soldier falls asleep on duty, they get, probably in those days, their head chopped off maybe, I don't know. But it wasn't good for that soldier who fell asleep on duty. And they did this to try to prevent the apostles from stealing the body and from them saying that the resurrection. But you know what? That didn't stop God. Amen? That didn't stop the angel. Now, he didn't have to open the tomb to let God out. He had to open the tomb so that we could see in that he wasn't there. But then verse 13, he says, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain or worthless, and your faith is vain also. If there hadn't been a resurrection, then I'd be wasting my time. But thank God there is a resurrection. There was a resurrection, amen? And there's coming another resurrection where we're going to rise to the complete full newness of life that God wants us to have. Amen? How many are ready for an upgrade? You want to trade in your corruptibility for incorruptibility. That sounds to me like a good upgrade. Amen? I'm telling you what, I'm excited. But if there wasn't a resurrection, then our faith, every preacher, every church would be in vain. But you know what? The very fact of how quickly and how rapidly and how largely the church grew from the very beginning, that's another proof that there's a resurrection, all right? But I'm not just here to prove the resurrection, all right? Because I want another direction, but I just wanted to lay this as the foundation. And he said, if verse 17 says, if Christ is not be raised, then your faith is in vain, then you're still in your sins. But because he rose, he proved who he was. Now I want you to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to get to the heart of what I want to say to you today. Amen? And God knows exactly who needed to be here and who's here today. And Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is praying a prayer for the church at Ephesus. And this is a prayer that you could pray for an individual, you could pray it for a group, you could pray it for yourself. We call it a scriptural prayer because it's a prayer that's written right in the Bible, all right? And you could take these words and apply it to yourself or whoever you're praying for. And Paul prayed here, and in verse 18, he includes this in his prayer. And he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You know, he wants us to understand his will. He wants us to know about his kingdom, how to operate in his kingdom, how to live for him, how to walk with him. He doesn't want us to be in the dark, amen? He's not the great darkness, he's the great light. And when light comes on the scene, it clears up all, it eliminates the darkness. And there's some things that he prayed that the church would know, all right? He says that you may know, number one, the hope of his calling. God's got a calling, and he wants you to know the hope of it. He wants you to know the expectation of his calling, what he expects you to do to fulfill his calling. And he wants you to know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Did you know that you have an inheritance? And he wants you to know the greatness, the richness of that inheritance. And it's going to take God ages to show you how good he is. God is so good that we can't even comprehend right now how good he really is. Just think of it. He's only given us a down payment of his Holy Spirit. Think about when we get the full thing, what it's going to be like. If this is a down payment, what's the full thing going to be like? So he wants you to know the hope of his calling, the riches of his inheritance, and look at verse 19. This is what I want to focus on today. He wants you to know, to become acquainted with, to experience, to know intimately what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. God wants you to know the power of the resurrection, because the same power that brought Christ up from the dead is the same power that touches a person's heart when they get converted to Christ. It's the same power that brings them out of spiritual death and puts them in the spiritual life, and we can be acquainted. We can know the power of his resurrection. We can experience it right now, today, the power of his resurrection. His resurrection was the greatest display of his power. And that power is for us to walk in, to experience, to know, to become acquainted with. Woo, each one of you are a power outlet for God. And when he plugs into you, you can turn the light on for someone else. Amen? I remember one time, my grandfather gave me a 1979 Pontiac Grand Le Mans. It was a four-door car. Okay, he had cataract surgery and he couldn't see, and I was just turning, I was close to driving age then, and so he gave me that car. And the dome light on that car never worked. You know, you'd open the door and the light wouldn't come on. And so it never worked. And we were trying to really work on my parents at that time, my sister, my older sister and I, because we were the ones who had gotten saved in our family. My oldest sister got saved first, and then she led me to the Lord. And they were having a special service at the church I went to, Abundant Life Tabernacle in LaSalle, Illinois. And so my mom decided that she was going to go to this service. And so she said if she could borrow the car. And I said, yeah, sure, you know, take my car. And so she took that car, she went to the service, and when she got out of the service, she opened up that door. Guess what? That dome light came on. And my mom said to me that this must be a sign from God, because it never came on after that, it never came on before that, but that night, when she went to that service, see, the power of God was working in her heart. The power of God was drawing her. See, no man can come to the Lord unless he be drawn first. And see, it's the Holy Spirit. He woos you. He says, hey, good looking, what you got cooking? Not necessarily in those terms. But he begins to speak things to you. There's something better. There's something more. He begins to put a desire in your heart, and he begins to draw you in. He begins to pull you in, and you feel drawn. Some people may say in church, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here. I know why you're here, because that's the power that's working to get you connected to the power source. Because he wants us to know the power, the exceeding greatness of his power. See, God never uses adjectives lightly. When he told Abraham that he was very rich, boy, that man was loaded. Abraham was loaded. God doesn't use adjectives lightly. And he says his exceeding greatness. He wants you to know. Say this with me. Say, I can know the exceeding greatness of his power that's working in me. How do you get the power to work in you? You believe. That's the only thing that you need to do to have this resurrection power working in you, is simply to believe, to trust, to rely on, to rest in, to let God be the only person you're placing all your trust in, because he'll never let you down. So when you believe, you have access to this power. This is the exceeding greatness of his power. Then he goes on to say, verse 20, this power was wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and he set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet. Say, all things are under his feet. Poverty is under his feet. Depression is under his feet. Lack is under his feet. Sickness is under his feet. Having no purpose is under his feet. They're all under, death is under his feet. These things are under his feet. And if they're under his feet and you're connected to Christ, then they're under your feet. Because this same power, the exceeding greatness of his power, it wants to work through believers. It desires to work through believers. All God wants us to do is believe, is trust in, is rely upon. And when we do, it doesn't matter who you are or where you're from, you have access to that power. You can benefit from that power. And then he became head over all things to the church. Jesus is the head of the church. If you ever wondered how important the church is, how important is your head? Think about it. The church is just as important as your head. When you bang your head, the rest of the body feels it. Amen? The head is important. So therefore, the church is important because Jesus is the head of the church. The church is his body. The church is his bride. Amen? The church is his beautiful. He wants a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Amen? And he uses the heat of the Holy Spirit to iron out the wrinkles. So we can know this exceeding great power. This power is spiritually dynamic. It's a living force. If you had a stick of dynamite and you lit it, would you hold it in your hand? How many would hold a stick of dynamite in their hand? Why? Because there's power there to blow your hand off. So it's spiritually dynamic. This power is a living force. That's the power that we're talking about. Okay? This power is directed to believers. Say, I'm a believer. Therefore, I can access the power. So when you're having a bad day, let's say you wake up and just things go wrong from the beginning of day. You're having pressure from this area, pressure from this area. See, all these things that the devil uses to bring pressure, fear, and intimidation. Then all of a sudden, you're walking along and something rises up within you that says, you don't have to take that pressure. You don't have to let the enemy beat you up. Something rises up. It's the resurrection power, and it causes you to be an overcomer. It causes you to make a declaration, and you overcome that enemy. When David, even before Christ rose from the dead, he walked on the scene and there was Goliath making accusations against God. Something rose up within the heart of David and he was not going to take what the enemy was saying. And something rose up within him and he went into a spiritual battle. But he went with godly weapons. Amen. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through the pulling. We have mighty weapons. We have powerful weapons. We have the strength of God that we can benefit from. Let the weak say, I am strong. Amen. We have the strength of God that backs us up. We can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. This is the power that I'm talking about. It's available to you whenever you need it. When you're having a bad day, God's power can come on the scene. It's instant. If you want power, instant power, just add belief. Amen? Instant pudding or whatever. Now, this power is energetic power. It's where we get energy. Amen? You ought to be turned on when you come in the presence of the Lord. There's enough power to break shackles and to open prisons and to open blind eyes, to cause the lame to leap, the deaf to hear, the mute to speak. There's enough power to do anything that you need done. It's energetic power. It's power that overcomes resistance. Woo, I like that. You've got the ability and the power through the exceeding greatness of His power, which is resurrection power that's working in you, to overcome resistance. Woo, because there is one who opposes you. We have an adversary called the devil who walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Notice he may. He can't just devour anybody he wants to. He only devours the ones who let him, who haven't tapped in to this power to resist the devil. The Bible says, submit yourselves to God, therefore resist the devil. And what happens? He will flee from you. The resurrection power that is operating in a believer cannot stand against the power of the enemy. The power of the enemy, it'll cause him to flee, to run from you in terror. When Jesus told the 70 to go out, they came back with all kinds of good reports. And they said, Jesus, even the demons are subject to us. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. He said, don't be so concerned about the enemy, but be concerned that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They had power over the enemy. They had power to cast the devil out. Amen? Thank you. I have power to wet my whistle. Okay. So we see here that this power, God raised him from the dead. He brought life to something that was lifeless. He was dead. Yes, Jesus died physically. He took the sins on the world. He died spiritually. He became sin who knew no sin. He did not commit a sin. He was innocent, but he took our punishment. He was our substitute. He took our place because of sin. And he gave his life a ransom for many. What do you pay a ransom for? When someone's kidnapped, when someone's being held against their will, when man sinned, Satan had access to hold man against his will. And we needed someone to break that power. So this power is demonstrated in that he rose Christ from the dead. And then secondly, he puts all things under his feet. And Christ becomes head now. That means that we have authority. Everybody say authority. He's given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Luke 10:19. You can tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. All the power. Say all the power of the enemy. Through the resurrection power, through the name of Jesus, you have power over all the power of the enemy and nothing. Everybody say nothing. shall by any means hurt me. The devil can't hurt you unless you let him. You can resist those feelings of being hurt. You can resist the enemy because we have power over him. All right? And then thirdly, this power made him head over the church. He is head of the fellowship of believers. Say with me, say, the Lord is in charge. And now when a person comes to Christ, they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now it's up to us to submit to his will. We have to then lay down our life just as he laid down his life for us. You know, that means any major decision in your life, you better run it before the boss before you make that decision. You better make sure that it's in line with his word. Because when you get born again now, you're in a different kingdom. You're no longer, you're in this world, but you're not of this world, or you're not part of this world system. You have a citizenship in heaven. And now you've got to submit your life to the Lord. Because an unsubmitted heart is just what the enemy wants to work in. Because he was the first person to be unsubmitted. He was the first person to allow pride to rise up. I will exalt myself above the throne of God. What happened? He got kicked out. So this power rose Christ from the dead, put all things under his feet, and made him the head of the church. And he wants to fill the church with all the fullness. He wants to fill you with his fullness. Amen? He wants you to be full, satisfied. The thief cometh not but what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. God does not steal. God does not kill. God does not destroy. Well, what about judgment? Well, the people who are being judged have not changed their heart. So, judgment is already in place for the rebellious. Okay? But God, he wants to fill every believer, every part of his body with his goodness, with his grace, with his love, with his fruit of the Spirit, with precious gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are so that everybody can benefit from. Therefore, the body. Amen. The Holy Ghost is like a multivitamin. He'll strengthen every part. He'll strengthen the weak hands. He'll make firm the feeble knees. Those who are fearful, he'll encourage. He'll build up. He'll say, you can do it. You can do it. So he wants to fill his body with his goodness. This is exceeding greatness of his power to those who believe. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. It is the power of God. You know, it took power for me to come to Christ. I was a good person, but I was spiritually dead. I didn't know the Lord personally. I knew about him, but I didn't know him in my heart. But there came a point and a time. It came for me when I was 12 years old that I invited the Lord to be Lord over my life. You know what? The Lord will never push his way on you. The Lord is not pushy. The devil is pushy. He'll try to push you. He'll try to, but the Lord leads. He doesn't push. And I've been thinking about the invitations that the Lord has made. You know what? He never really gave a big altar call. His altar call was, come unto me, all those who are heavy laden with burden, I'll give you rest. That was his altar call. Come unto me, all those who thirst, and I will satisfy you. on the last and great day of the feast, he stood up and said, "All those who are thirsty, come to me and I'll give you drink, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water." Most of the time, the Holy Spirit would just interrupt altar calls. When Peter went to Cornelius' house, he didn't have an altar call. Right in the middle of his preaching, the Holy Ghost just fell. And people were touched by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So I'm going to adjust how I do altar calls. Because what we have to offer is the most valuable and precious thing on this earth that this universe has ever seen. I don't have to be ashamed of the gospel. I don't have to be ashamed because this is the very thing that everybody needs. It's a one size fits all. Amen? And you talk about a lifetime guarantee, this guarantee's out of this world. So I don't have to beg and to plead to get people to respond, because I know that the gospel is good. And whether you respond or not, that is up to every individual. All right? But I'll give everybody an opportunity to respond. Amen? But God is so good and gracious. Amen? He is so rich in mercy. All right? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 4 through 9. And I'm about getting ready to close. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, say he's rich in mercy. For his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. That word quickened means to make alive. While you didn't even know the Lord, before you ever had a thought of coming to him, accepting him as Savior, he went ahead and paid your bill. He went ahead and took care of everything for you. And he's given you an invitation. He sent you a love letter named Jesus. And it is addressed to you and to every person. So when we were dead in sins, he quickened us. He made us alive. When we were against him, he made a way for us to come on his side. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Think about it. Who made us sit there? He said, come on up higher. There's a better way of living. There's a better way of moving. There's a better way to have relationships. There's a better way to experience life. I've come to give you abundant life. He made you to sit together with him in heavenly places. Hallelujah. We are seated with Jesus Christ. We, the same thing that he gets, we get because we are joint heirs together. So he's given us the ability to come up higher. Amen. Why? Because he's rich in mercy and because of the great love wherewith he loved us. He didn't do anything out of love. He loves us. His love is so powerful. Verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. It's going to take ages to come. It's going to take ages for God to show us exactly how good he was through the cross. The cross was just a glimpse. But there's going to come a day when we're going to be called to heaven. And it's going to be so bright, so illuminating, brighter than the noonday sun. There's not going to be a tear or a pain or a hurt or even a memory of all the junk that we faced in the past. But all that is going to be wiped clean. And we're going to worship the Savior. We're going to worship the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. We're going to worship him. And I'll tell you what, the house is going to rock. I'm telling you. Why? Because of his great love and his mercy. It's because of his great love and his mercy that you have been named a recipient, an heir of everything that belongs to him. He's not held back anything. And it's because of his great love that you can become a partaker of his divine nature. It's because of his great love that he's given you access to his power. He said, beloved, he said, a little flock, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. He said, here's the keys, son. Go have fun in the kingdom. He's given us the keys to the kingdom. Think about that. You have access to the kingdom. You can come, you, say me. You can come boldly before the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. You can come and have a conversation with the Almighty. Because of the power, the exceeding greatness of his power that he's made available to us. He's made us participants. He's opened the door. We can come before him anytime we need to. The might of his power. When he rose Jesus from the dead. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. You know, this letter is written to the church. Say, this letter is for me. Because I'm the church. That's right. You are the church. We are the church. This building is not the church. This is the building where the church gathers to worship and come together. You know why? Do you know why we come together? Yeah, God can minister to you individually, but there is a special anointing, a special corporate blessing when we come together. When people of like faith, of like precious faith, gather together, there's an atmosphere. Woo, that God can move. God can do things. God can touch hearts. It's an atmosphere that we don't get individually. Remember, he is the head of who? The church. He is the head. He gained that right to because he gave his life and he rose from the dead. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Once again, Paul, he said, and to know the love of Christ. He not only wants us to know his power, but he wants us to know his love. To know it. You know, when the Bible used the word know, it spoke of the intimacy shared between a husband and a wife. Adam knew Eve. That means there was such a close, intimate exchange. That's the kind of level of knowing that I'm talking about. He wants you to know his love. He wants you to know his power, to become acquainted with his power. How do you become acquainted with it? You believe. Amen? It's that simple. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. See, what happens is, the more time we spend in this world system, the more we can get drained. Did you know that Satan assigns joy suckers to your life? And their sole purpose is to suck the joy out of your life. But then there are other people that God sends that are to hold up your arms and to lift you up and to encourage you. And we're all in a war. There are things vying for every person's soul. And the enemy does not want you to operate in this power. He'll do everything he can to keep you from operating in the power of God. He'll do everything he can. He'll apply pressure, fear, and intimidation to keep you by yourself and away from the source of life, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 20. Now, talk about power. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power that what? Works in us. Woo! The power is working in us right at this moment. We have access to the power. You can allow the power to work in you and to through you. You know, the Bible says believers. How many believers do we have in here? If you're a believer, raise your hand. Believers shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. That's power. So Larry, as a believer, if someone's sick around you, you could simply just lay your hands on them and release the power of God. And that power will go into that. See, it's the power that does the work, but he needs an avenue to flow through. These lights work, but there's a wire that connects them to the power source. And it's connected to a switch. And you simply turn on that switch. And when all the connections are made, then the power will operate. But it's when there's a severed connection that you flip the switch and the light doesn't come on because the power is not getting there. The power has been cut off, and you got to connect. You got to connect. Whew. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above. You got to aim higher. You got to look above your circumstances, above your feelings. He's speaking to those who believe, who have been risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death. Carnal is flesh oriented, flesh ruled, flesh dominated. You let your body lead you instead of your spirit leading you. But he tells us those who believe in the resurrection, you're supposed to live like you've been resurrected. Let me say that again. Those who believe in the resurrection need to live like they've been resurrected. You got to put something in your walk. Amen? You got to sing a new song. You got to live in a new way. There's a new way of living. You got to put off the old man. And you got to put on the new man, which is created in Christ Jesus in true holiness and righteousness. If you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, then you need to let that power change the way you live. Because that's what power always brings about, a change. God's power is never void. He made the lame to walk. He made the blind to see. He made the deaf to hear. He made the dead to rise again. Amen? His power is for a purpose. It's to help you live like you're supposed to live. So you, say me. Say, I set my affection on things above. That means you got to change your mind. Setting your affection on things, you know, we can be very affectionate of things of this world. But as many of you know, those things do not produce a lasting, you know, I love baseball. I played baseball all through grade school. I played it 1 year in high school. I love baseball. But you know what? There's going to come a time when baseball ends. So I can't let that be, I can't let baseball so consume me. I've got to set my affection now on something higher, something that's worth more. I've got to set my affection on the precious pearl, that it's so valuable, it's so precious. This is what I've got to set my affection on now. And when you do, when you change your affection, you will change the way you live. And the you'll be a conduit for the power of God. It doesn't take a whole lot for us to become a conduit of God's power. It just takes a minor adjustment in how we live, how we think, how we talk. And God's power. See, how many want to eat food off a dirty dish? Huh? No one? Well, you know what? God's power doesn't want to flow through a dirty vessel. But he says you are sanctified by the word. He takes the word and he washes us through the washing of the water of the word of God. Whew! I'm clean by the word. You are sanctified, you are cleansed by the word of God. Now you need to take that cleansing power and continue. You know, God's power will save you, but it will also keep you. God's power doesn't abandon you when you get saved. That's just the beginning. But his power will continue to help you in everyday life. His power will help you be a good wife, a good husband, a good father, a good son, a good daughter, a good employee, a good servant. His power is there to help you. And we can become acquainted with the power of God. Because he wants us to know the exceeding greatness of his power. He wants you to know it so well that you recognize it when it's moving. Know it so well that you recognize its voice when it speaks. Know the power so well that you can be like Ananias and God can say, I want you to go to a man named Saul. Here's where he's at. Go lay hands on him. And he said, but he's got a bad reputation. But you know what? Ananias used the power of God. He recognized the power of God, and he went and did what God said do. See, when you recognize the power of God, you'll obey what God says to do. Because it's no longer you that lives. It's Christ that lives through you. And the life that we should now live, we should live by faith in the Son of God. Yeah, you can short-circuit the power of God. You know how you do it? When God says do something, you do this. I'm not going to do that. You know what? God will say, okay, he'll go to someone else. Would you do this? See, God's power, and I'm closing. God's power is like a boulder that falls into a river. That river has a choice. It can stop at that rock or it can go around it. What happens is God's power comes on the scene, and if someone wants to short circuit the power, that power will move on to someone else. The power doesn't wait. When the power's moving, it gives you an opportunity to obey. And if you don't obey, he'll go to the next one. But yes, our actions can short circuit the power of God in our life. Just like you can short circuit a relationship by the wrong words. See, we need to be in relationship with the power of God. Paul said, we shouldn't have our faith in man's eloquence, but our faith should be in the power of God. It's the Holy Spirit of power and demonstration. Amen? God's power is here today. How many believe that God's power is here today? Amen. We're celebrating his resurrection. This was the greatest day. Amen. There's no other religious leader that can say they can go to a grave and find it empty, except for those who follow Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead today. And this is our day. This is the greatest day. This was the day of victory where he made a show openly of all the enemy. He stripped him of all of his authority. He wiped him out. He knocked him out with one blow. Today is resurrection day. Today is a day where we can stand up and walk in the newness of life and put on the new man. And we shouldn't have to be afraid or ashamed or fearful to live for Christ wherever God has you. Because he wants you to know his power. His power is here so that you can become intimately acquainted with it. Amen. And if you're here today and you need to know the power of God for whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. God's power is here. He knows your heart. And if you need to receive from the power of God, I want to give you an opportunity today, right now, to come up and just simply receive of God's power. For whatever you may need, God's power covers it all. If you're here today and you just need to receive of the power of God, doesn't even matter what it is, you know what? Maybe you just need to make yourself available and be receptive. Amen? And we can know and experience the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who what? Who believe. Hallelujah. Go ahead and play some music. Thank you, Lord. You know, God's power is something to be demonstrated. So you're going to see the power of God in demonstration. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God knows what you need. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else have anything? As you go, no, we didn't talk about it, but you can put your offering or tithe in the back there. And I'm just going to pray a priestly blessing over you. Father, we just thank you right now that you shine upon these people. You cause your face to shine upon them, Father. You give them peace, Lord. You put them at rest, Father. You bless them mightily and indeed, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that they have a blessed resurrection day, Father, that they go and be a blessing to wherever they're going to be, whoever they're going to share with, Father. I pray that the power of God will just flow through them in a great and mighty way, Lord. And we thank you for all you have done in our hearts and in every way, Father. We give Jesus all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Have a great day.